The stories about lean and often very mean county finances are not limited to our region. Yes, there are few patrol deputies and little jail space available in Josephine and Curry counties, but similar issues exist in Polk County and the Willamette Valley and even counties east of the Cascades. And they do talk to each other. The Association of Oregon Counties keeps a running discussion going, and AOC hosted a recent conference for the counties to compare notes on common issues, which include, of course, funding challenges. Patrick Singh is with the Association of Oregon Counties, or AOC. He's the policy manager for public safety and courts and telecommunication, and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Patrick, thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Jeffrey. Thanks for having me.
I guess the thing that is of most interest to people listening to us is we tend to cover just the O&C counties, the counties that got a lot of their revenue in years past from timber sales on the former Oregon and California or O&C railroad lands. But it is not just these counties having some issues, I understand.
That's correct, Jeffrey. I mean, this has really become a statewide issue of concern for the general public, and we've just really been trying to put together, one, bring everybody together to have that conversation of what we need to do, but then also try to figure out solutions that might help all 36 counties.
It makes sense that the 18 O&C counties in western Oregon would be going through this, but what are some of the reasons that that there seems to be tight funding or at least concerns about public safety in counties east of the Cascades?
Yeah, we've had these summits now in three different counties, Curry, Josephine, and Columbia County. We're on our way to Umatilla County July 22nd to have that conversation there. I think that a lot of the issues that we've been having is not only declining federal revenue to those counties that have been heavily reliant on timber, but a lot of state resources have declined through the recession and over the years as well. That's where we've decided to focus some of our attention on legislation that might help all 36 counties. That includes some proposals relating to mental health and also district attorney funding to kind of relieve some of that pressure on some of those counties.
That's a good place to look at where things get spent and by whom, because the fact is that the courts and the district attorney's offices are actually extensions of the state of Oregon and not so much the counties, right? But don't they each have some money in the pot?
Right, that's correct. So in regards to district attorney funding, in the 70s and 80s, the state used to provide a good percentage of funding, not only for the elected district attorney themselves, but also for deputy district attorneys and witness fees. And since then, that's declined to where the amount is actually inadequate, and counties actually supplement the DA's salary and also pick up all witness fees and deputy district attorneys. And so it's really been a cost shift to the counties, and that's obviously put a lot of pressure on the public safety system statewide.
Do you have any numbers, Patrick, on what percentage of those costs used to be borne by the state and what the percentage is now?
I believe the percentage back then was close to 20%.
Mm-hmm.
For deputy district attorneys, that's been whittled down to 0%. So it's quite a shift. There was a study done by former Attorney General Hardy Myers in 1999, I believe, that said the state should be contributing $20 million to counties for district attorney services. That of course didn't happen. That was presented to the legislature then, and it was just not feasible financially. And ever since then, it seems like we've been trying to go back time after time to try to increase that funding.
What about the general trend in public safety across Oregon? I mean, when we talk about the counties that are showing some problems, I mean, are there any counties that are doing particularly well that are actually able to increase public safety funding, whether it's for jail or deputies or the DA's office?
Well, we've certainly seen a little bit of a shift in a couple of recent elections where counties have been successful at the ballot.
Lane among them?
Lane is one in terms of their jail, although that still has left them at an inadequate level for patrol. So while they've been able to save some jail deputies and some beds, they have still been struggling on the prosecution end and also on patrol. This last election here in May, Columbia County passed a levy that was actually expected to fail, and that helped keep their jail open. Linn County passed a continuing levy to fund patrol actually by a wide margin, which was good news. So I think folks are starting to realize some of the issues that are out there and really starting to step up. Josephine County came close but failed in the last election, and I believe they'll be trying again in November. So.
And as you point out, though, I mean, in Lane County's case, which was not this election but a previous one, the stuff that is being asked for is not let's replace everything we lost, but let's just get back part of what we lost. That seems like the general trend.
Right, that's correct. I mean, Lane County really did a study and a survey on its voters to try to determine what level the public would really support, and it really was that just basic, you know, let's be able to keep some folks in jail and not really take apart our whole public safety system, but you're right. They didn't want to go much above and beyond that either.
We're talking about county funding in the state of Oregon. It is not just the so-called O&C counties of Western Oregon that are experiencing some financial difficulties, in their case because of the federal timber money dropping, but counties across the state of Oregon, even east of the Cascades, showing some similar issues. And the Association of Oregon Counties is talking with county heads about how to address all this. Patrick Singh is with AOC, Policy Manager for Public Safety in Courts and Telecommunication. You can join us on the exchange. Our phone number is 800-838-3760. Anywhere in our listening area. In the Rogue Valley, it's 541-552-6782 by email jx@jeffnet.org. Given the general trend line that would seem to be appearing across Oregon counties, I mean, is there a sense of another shoe still about to drop for some places that they could fall even further?
Yeah, Jeffrey, I think that's still an issue in a lot of the counties that have still failed to pass anything publicly. And you know, I don't know if the state or federal government alone, there's really no one solution that will help any one county. In these summits, we've identified some issues that can help, but certainly I think one of the biggest successes of these counties is not only the participation that we've received from elected officials, we've had great participation from the local district attorneys and the sheriffs and state agency officials. We've had the superintendent of state police at all three. The Attorney General came to our first one, but really the media coverage, of course, Jefferson Public Radio is one, and raising public awareness through these summits has been a huge success.
Some of these summits, like the Spring Conference, I'm guessing by its very name, it's something that's regularly scheduled anyway.
Yes, that's correct. Last week we had our regularly scheduled Spring Conference. It was in Hood River. We had the presidents of all the major public safety associations attend. And really, you know, a continuing brainstorm of ideas on what legislation and what ideas we can do together to help improve our public safety system.
Is there a sense of building urgency as each conference goes by?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as we've talked about already, I mean, there's counties that continue to be in decline. You mentioned Polk County at the introduction of our radio. I'm actually sitting here in Wallowa County right now. The Sheriff's Association is meeting here. And the sheriff, Polk County, Bob Wolf, he's down to 10-hour patrols a day, and he's afraid he's going to be losing two more deputies to both funding and also deputies that are just, you know, tired, and they're going to work for other agencies that might be able to have a better future for them. So that's just one of the many examples that are out there.
Yeah, if you can stand to get paid more and worked a little less, I can understand why you might want to take a different job.
Right.
So we talked a little bit about the counties in eastern Oregon. Now, I had done some comparisons on property tax rates. It seems like east of the Cascades, where there was not the timber money coming in to help the county budgets over the years, that the residents pay a lot more in property taxes to county services.
Yeah, there certainly is a kind of an unequal balance of property tax payments, I guess you could say, in some of the counties that are not those timber counties. You know, there was a series by the Oregonian by Les Sites recently, a couple weeks ago, and it gave the difference of just counties that are right next to each other, Jackson and Josephine being two of those counties. And you know, I think a lot of those issues are maybe long term, some to do with planning, but some of shifting of resources as well. And, you know, I think some of the eastern Oregon counties have done a good job in some of those planning of finances. and they're not as hard hit, although some of those resources are still really tight for them as well.
Well, I have to wonder then, in some of these counties like Umatilla, where the property tax rate for county services alone is north of $2.50 per thousand, compare that with Josephine County at around 60 cents per thousand. Given the property tax limits under Measure 5 from the early 90s in Oregon, which is $10 per thousand for everything that isn't school, are some of these districts squeezing each other? Do you have like the county and the cities in a place like Umatilla County sort of putting each other into compression?
Yeah, compression is a huge issue. I mean, when you pack, you know, an area with so many special districts and things like that, I think folks, when they get presented with an opportunity to pay for a new service or a new building or whatever it is, a park, library, new police building, and folks often want to do that, but then they realize they have this issue of compression. You know, the League of Oregon Cities, our partner organization on the city side, is working on some legislation to address that, maybe put it back up to the voters to see if that's something we can resolve. We've certainly been in conversation with them about trying to see if we can work together with them on that.
Would that be talking about lifting the $10 per thousand cap on a non-school local government? Are we just talking about making some things exempt from it, or what would the form of that legislation take, or is it too early to know?
It is a little too early to know. But I do think it's an adjustment of some sort on the limit. Over the next month or so, we'll have a little bit more details about that as we work with the League of Oregon Cities.
Let us take a phone call. We have William in Wolf Creek on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about county funding with Patrick Singh from the Association of Oregon Counties.
I just want to make a semi-brief comment about the corruption of our current sheriff and district attorney's office and just how many tax dodges there are in this town, how many landed gentry, business people, criminals, who do not pay taxes, do it all under the table. And Gilbertson, hell, they're halfway related. Do business with them, have forever.
So you're saying that there are just some people who aren't paying their property taxes, and that's the situation in
Josephine
County?
Property taxes, timber taxes, all sorts of business taxes, most especially timber taxes. That's why people don't harvest, is because they get set up, get taxed for stuff they don't need to. There's all sorts of people paying timber taxes that absolutely don't need to. But the way it's set up, the guys with the connections at the mill, I could name names, they've all been doing business here for 50, 60 years. People go to harvest, they pay taxes on trees they don't have to pay taxes on. It's a major scam, but that's just one of them. Bottom line is, Gilbertson's our own little sheriff, our pale. And who wants to pay for that?
From Maricopa County, Arizona. All right, thanks for the comparison, William. Appreciate it. Boy, a lot to take in there. Let me redirect this to you, Patrick Singh, in this way. The kinds of things that William complains about, where taxes are being applied unevenly, is that something that is being discussed among the various counties?
Sure, and I think that is one thing that we've been trying to focus these summits and our legislation on is, we've talked about the unequal tax rates around different counties, so our solutions, and again, not one of these solutions will be the magic key to anything, but our solutions are geared not just to those counties that have been struggling or that maybe have low tax rates or have failed to vote on tax levies, but address all 36 counties. I'll provide a couple specific examples that we're working on that I briefly mentioned. Mental health, everything on the public safety continuum, from the training of officers to how we deal with people while on patrol, to mental court, mental health courts, specialty courts, and diverting people from jail as some sort of diversion program to try to prevent folks to going to the state hospital. That state hospital population is costing the state and us as taxpayers a lot of money. I think it's $25,000 per month per person that gets booked there on an aid and assist type deal. So if we can try to divert some of that and provide community resources for mental health and local patrol to population a little bit better, all 36 counties will be better off.
There was something that the county commissioners in Josephine County, where William obviously was calling from, have been discussing, which is the concept of the fact that it is county government that does all the property tax collections and then doles it out to all the different school districts and cities. And Josephine County's case is just the two cities, but all the special districts, all that money comes through Josephine County. Why shouldn't Josephine County be taking some collection fees as part of this to improve its own budget picture? Is that something widely discussed among AOC members?
You know, yeah, I've heard of it a little bit, and that's certainly something that the Clerks Association and us, our association, should continue to discuss. You know, I think there's responsibilities of each level of government that I think each level absorbs in some sort of way. But yeah, as times continue to get tough, we'll continue to be looking for ways to make sure that we're getting compensated for those services.
Now, obviously, a solution frequently proposed in Western Oregon is to pass federal legislation increasing logging on federal lands, which wouldn't obviously have much of an effect on Eastern Oregon counties. But, I mean, even if successful, this is not a sure thing, obviously. But, and if it were, I mean, how long before logs could roll off those lands and provide money to counties? You still would need something in the interim, wouldn't you?
Right. And that's really the key is timber revenue and working with the federal government to try to come up with some sort of solution. Certainly, Senator Wyden, Representative Walden have kind of been the leaders on that in the Oregon delegation in Congress. Obviously, being an election year, it's tough to really get much done, I think, at the federal level, and so that's why we've really been trying to provide some patchwork for counties in some of these solutions. But it's really going to take all of these solutions to try to help. The governor in 2009, Governor Kulongoski, held a federal forest task force, and they came up with, I think, 42 different ideas that the state might be able to do to help counties. Some of those have become law already. A lot of them had to do with public safety, and we actually just started putting together a list of potential legislation that we might be able to reintroduce from that task force. And some of it has to do with regionalization of services as well. So how can counties group together, or counties and cities or other governments group together within a county to try to provide similar services, everything from bulk purchasing to, you know, 911 consolidation and everything else.
Some of this has happened already, I know, because in Jackson County, for example, there used to be several different dispatch centers. I think they're down to one organization anyway, other than the Oregon State Police. So some of that, it's been combined. I imagine you've seen some of this in other counties across Oregon, where you get the city and the county departments combining some services.
Right. I mean, that's certainly, it, in regards to 911, has been happening naturally. I think 30 years ago, there were close to 300 public safety answering points or 911 centers, and now we're down to 45. I think two more are consolidating, so we'll be down to 43. And so it's definitely a natural process. Counties and cities and special districts get together and really decide on the local level if that works for them and find those efficiencies and then make it work. So that's been one of the successes of trying to regionalize services.
When you describe the patchwork, Patrick Singh, of trying to put together pieces here of legislation that might work, and pardon me for mixing metaphors, I get the sense that all the low-hanging fruit has already been grabbed. So now it's really just not any one magic wand. Here's another metaphor. But a series of things that together might give the county some relief.
Yeah. You know, a lot of the low-hanging fruit I talked about in that federal forest task force that the governor had a few years ago. A lot of those have been done, but there's still some more that we can do. I think some of the things we've been talking about mental health diversion and DA funding and a fund for juvenile justice of some sort. I think our county commissioners would consider that low-hanging fruit, and whether or not the state would like to step in and help on the funding piece. We hope they do, but for us, it'd be good policy that we feel we can implement. I think one of the successes we've seen in the last year is the implementation of House Bill 3194, which was a public safety reform bill, provided $15 million in local resources to counties to enact reentry and recidivism programs. And while the shaping of the policy was controversial, in the end, I think all the public safety groups have agreed that the rollout and implementation has been very successful, and we've capped the prison growth thus far.
And not doing it the same way California did, which was the whole realignment thing that sent people below a certain level back to the county jails.
Right, exactly.
Is there a sense that we might see use of the legislation passed out of the legislature the last go-round that allows the counties to take some emergency powers on for taxation? Is there some sense we might see that used soon?
You know, I think jokingly or maybe quietly refer it to in our association as the county commissioner recall bill. You know,
it would be that, wouldn't it?
It's a very tough bill that takes a lot of effort at the local level to pass, and that includes county commissioners signing on board. We have yet to hear of any that are moving in that direction, although all the counties that are in fiscal distress have been talking about it and kind of using it as a tool in their local election process, which has probably been the key to that bill.
All right. So, yeah, I can understand where the county says, okay, we're going to start levying some new taxes upon you. The county commissioners would become seriously unpopular in a hurry. So the next meeting of Oregon counties is July 22nd, is that what you said?
Yes, that's correct. Umatilla County.
All right. Lots to talk about always. Patrick Singh is with the Association of Oregon Counties, where he's policy manager for public safety and courts and telecommunication. Patrick, thanks for joining us to talk about county finances.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
You bet. That'll do it for this hour of the Jefferson Exchange. We'll talk about entrepreneurs and how they are coached in hour number 2.